just gets stirred up every time I... You get to thinking about that. The God that created the heavens and the earth and the moon and the stars and everything in existence today. And He's with me. He's real. He's present with me in the now and in the present. And it just stirs my heart. Makes me so glad and so thankful that I have a personal Savior. He personally let me know that I was lost. And He personally saved me and let me know that I was saved. This morning, I've had a thought this week, and I've been studying a lot of different things, a lot of different directions, and my basic thought was on temptations. I know we just got through going through the Ten Commandments and all the different things that that was laid out there by God and the impossibility of being able to do them in a manner that would be pleasing to God. And then I got to thinking about there's so many other things in the world that we live in today other than the commandments of God not being able to do them in a manner that's pleasing to Him. There's so many other things that are in this world today that we live in that is led or directed, I guess, by Satan that directs us away from God. And I was thinking about temptations, and I've studied where Christ was tempted and in the garden, or He was tempted by Satan, not in the garden, but He was in the desert, but He was tempted by Satan. And I've also read over in the book of Luke in the 8th chapter, and also it's written in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's basically pertaining to the parable of the sower. I'm going to read that this morning for our hearing, and I, like I said, y'all certainly pray for me that Lord direct my heart in this message that I would just have the words to say. In the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, for our reading this morning, I'll start in the 4th verse. Luke chapter 8, 4th verse. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when He had said these things, He cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And His disciples asked, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And He said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. For they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, or setteth it upon a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, unto him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed therefore how you hear is an important thing. We live in a day, in a time, in a world that, unfortunately, there are many, many, many different ways of salvation. There is a lot of different beliefs and practices of ways to get into heaven. And, you know, it's so important that you personally know within your hearts where you're going when you die. To have a time of preparation that God has given you now. He has enabled you to hear the preaching of God's Word and to hear about Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on the cross. And it says, take heed how you hear. Take heed that you don't let things of the world distract you away from what is right and what is true. Take heed that possibly things that you might have heard in your life, that it would have an effect upon you and keep you from believing the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus, from turning away the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God when it's dealing with your heart and knocking on that heart and trying to show you that you're a sinner. Don't turn these things away. Be careful what you hear and how you hear. Be attentive. This reading here was basically Jesus. He said, I'm speaking in a parable so that those that might not be able to understand spiritual things, that they can understand these in just everyday terms. You've got a man that goes out to sow a field. He takes his seeds and he sows them. Now, all the seed that was, or all the ground that he was sowing, it was the same. It was the same kind of seed. Or same kind of ground, the same kind of seed. One field, you know, that it was speaking of here. There wasn't anything different. Bible says, he tells us that, that we are all the descendants of Adam. That we have all been born into this world. We have all been born of a depraved nature after the inherited sin of Adam. So each and every one of us are that ground. Our hearts are the ground that those seeds are cast out to fall on. We all have a heart. We all have one of them. And most of them, I'm going to guesstimate, they're pumping that red blood. Just like everybody, I'd say they make some a little bigger than others, but they're all the same. That heart is the field, and that word is the seed that sowed, that word of Jesus Christ that is laid out there. And it says, what really determines how that seed grows or not is what kind of ground it falls in. It gives four different kinds of ground. Now, it gives four different kinds of conditions of people's hearts. You've got those that heard and those that didn't. In this first one, he sowed and the seeds fell by the wayside. They fell off. You know, there's a lot of people that have heard the truth and they've ignored it. They've completely ignored it. That gospel seed, that gospel word has fell all around them. But it's never penetrated where it counted. It never penetrated down inside. It's fell all around them. I think because they have chosen not to hear. See, I believe God gave everybody a mind. And I believe that your mind plays a part on salvation. You got to hear. You got to be able to know and understand. That's the reason we as Missionary Baptists, we do not believe that an infant can be saved. We believe in what we call an age of accountability. We believe that there is a certain point in time of age in your life, and we don't put a number on that because that's when the Lord deals with you. We believe at that point in time or that age where you understand, where the Holy Spirit of God looks in your heart and says that you're accountable for your sins because now you understand, you're able to understand in your heart that you are a sinner before God, and it is your responsibility that you bow down and that you seek Him till you find Him. See, we as human beings, we can't do that. We couldn't determine that. We couldn't. There's no way in the world. We can't judge somebody else's heart. But God can. And this is all done upon the sowing of them seeds. Planted in that field. Those words of God that penetrate into the heart. When God looks down and he sees the condition of your heart. These seeds were thrown off to the side. I guess if you want to say they just fell in the path. They didn't fall in a row. And the birds come and snatched it up. And in the explanation where Christ was given to his apostles here, he said, Satan came and snatched the truth away from them. The Word of God that was laid out there, Satan had done that. See, we live in a time today that people, they don't want to believe that there is such a thing as Satan. They don't want to believe in the powers and the forces of Satan. They don't want to believe in the horrible things of that. They don't want to believe that God kicked Satan out of heaven, that he was a fallen angel, and that he prepared a place for him and all those that followed him. And one of these days when this world ends, all those that are kicked out, all those angels that followed him, and every one of them that chose not to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, will go to this awful place where God has prepared for them. It's a place called hell. But the world don't want to think about that. The world don't want to think that Satan is working and that he is going against God. But I promise you that he's out there. He will snatch away every good thing if he can to keep you from believing or keep you from hearing or keep you to think that you're okay. He'll do whatever he can do to make you think that you're okay. Oh, I've done this and I've done that. I was raised in this church. I've done this and I've done all. Oh, my name's on the church roll. I got baptized. Well, all these different things, Satan will use whatever he can to keep you from thinking that you're okay. You know, he'll just say, oh, that's all right. You did this, you did this. You must be all right. You must be okay. You did this. You joined that church. You must be all right. You're going to make it to heaven. Don't worry about all this stuff that preacher tells you about the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart and convicting you and condemning you of your sins and you bowing down and praying and seeking God until you find Him. Don't listen to that preacher. Well, I'm telling you, only one way of salvation, and Satan is a very, very present. He's present. He is working diligently to take as many people as he can with him to hell. And we live in such a proud and pompous time in this world that they're just lining up to follow him because they had rather do that than to bow down and seek God. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away. There's a lot, I guess, that can be said about that. Those that come in and, I guess, go through the motions. See, just going to church is not good enough. Just having your name on the church roll ain't good enough. Being a good person, paying tithes, giving and all these things is not good enough. It takes that seed falling in here and producing the fruit of righteousness. That is the only thing. That imputed righteousness that is given to each and every one that's ever been saved by God's grace. It's not with anything that we could do. But it was imputed righteousness that was given to us. If we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man can boast. Not of works, not of anything that we can do. We have to understand that message that fell upon that heart. If your heart is here this morning and it's hard over, a hardened heart is a dangerous thing. Those that just they get it in their mind, it's like, I don't care what's said or what's done. I'm going to just sit back here. I ain't going to pay no attention. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to listen. I've hardened my heart to the truth. I'm just going to walk my way. I'm going to be this way until I die, and ain't nobody going to change me. Lord, help you. If you have that heart that you just decided you just ain't going to do it, and you harden your heart and you refuse the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God that showed you where you stand, Lord, help you. Because one of these days, if you've never bowed and sought Him to the salvation of your soul, you're going to be going with Satan and all those fallen angels and all those that have tagged along, all those that have never believed, that have never repented, that have never trusted in Jesus, you're just going to go run along in line with them. Some fell into thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them out. There's a lot of people in this world that have chosen, I guess, money. I believe it's referring to stuff, jobs. You know, I believe there's many, many, many people that have been saved, have allowed their jobs and their money and all their circumstances to choke the word out of their life also. But this right here is having reference, I believe, to one that hasn't been saved, and they've heard the word. And maybe that word was having effect upon them. It was shaking them a little bit. It was opening their eyes and was making them to know that they was a sinner before God. But they just couldn't turn loose of the stuff. They couldn't turn loose of this world and all that it had to offer them. It just had so much here for them to do, you know? Just had so much out there to make them happy. And it choked that word right out of them. And they just went off on out into the world and forgot all about the truth that they heard. They might have been somebody when they was growing up as a child was taken to church and they heard the word. Somebody might have had family members that told them the truth about Jesus as they was growing up. I don't know what it is. But anytime we allow anything to get before us and God, it's choking the Word. It's choking the Word. And it tells here as we read on, others fell in good ground and sprang up and they bear fruit. You know, it's one thing about God's Word. It says a good tree will always bear good fruit. A good tree will always, always, always bear good fruit. What kind of fruit is it talking about? I think it's talking about fruits of righteousness, fruits of truth, fruits of doing the Lord's will, following, doing things. I believe there's evidence of a changed life. That's what fruits is. There is spiritual proof in your life that something has happened, that something has changed. That you've died to sin. And that you're crucifying the flesh and that you're following after Jesus. These things are fruits. And they bear these fruits. We, as saved people, bear these fruits when we've been saved by God's grace. The Bible tells us that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know, it's obvious in this writing here that there's more to salvation than the way you live or what you do. It's so obvious in this writing. There's two different aspects of this here because Jesus was teaching it for those that were lost and those that were saved. Those that were saved knew they were saved. And those that were lost, they didn't even know they were lost. See, I thank God this morning that I serve a God that He let me know I was lost. You know, I sat back there on a bench as a boy, and I was raised under the preaching and heard the truth. I sat back there on that bench, but up until the point in time where God showed me that I was a sinner, I didn't have a care in the world. I was just a happy-go-lucky boy, just growing up and had all my friends, you know, and all I had on my mind was going outside after church and playing. We'd all go outside and play tag and we'd all go do these things, you know. And that's what I had on my mind. Going to church because I went to church. We went to church and that's, I enjoyed myself because of that. I had my friends there. Until that night or that day when the Lord opened my eyes and showed me that I was lost. It quit being so fun. I got where all of a sudden I didn't even want to go back to church. I got miserable. I got caught up by God. My sins, my sins was revealed to me. My heart was laid open. That gospel seed had penetrated the ground of my heart and it got in there and it showed me that I was a sinner and it laid me wide open and I didn't, all of a sudden I just didn't want to go to church no more. thank God my mom and daddy, they didn't care whether I wanted to go or not. They took me. You know, they took me and said, this is where you need to be. You need to hear the gospel. And they took me there. And, you know, so many times we want to help and we want to do things and do all we can. And that's how I believe that so much things has gotten into the church. These repeating the prayer type salvations and all these different things have evolved into easy believism to get people into heaven. Oh, we're going to help you get to church. Just repeat this prayer. Shake my hand. And do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Well, that's good enough then. No. No. It's always been repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's always been through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you leave the Holy Spirit out of it, what part of salvation have you got? If you leave the convicting part out of salvation, you've left God out of salvation. Because everything else is of man. You have left it out. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. It's important. All these different temptations that is laid out in this world. Satan and all of his demons are out there trying to distract you from the truth, from what is right. The Bible, Jesus tells about false prophets. False teachings, false all kinds of stuff. I tell you, there's one way to know it's true. And that's if you get your answer from God Himself. You don't have to believe a word I stood up here and said this morning. It don't make any difference because I serve a God that can show you personally. And that's the one I'm telling you about today. I just want souls to be saved. I just want people to know the truth and hear about Jesus and seek Him to be saved. But I know what I'm saying is true. See, that's just it. I know what I'm saying is true. I know all about that Jesus I told you about. And I know all about that Holy Spirit that I told you drawed me and filled me up, saved my soul. I know all about it because I've experienced it. It's a personal thing. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! It's personal. It's a real thing. It's imputed righteousness from God. And if you think that you can't have imputed righteousness and not know it, then you've got something wrong. When God saved your soul, you know it. You know it. Any other type of salvation, we've been studying all kinds of different salvations or ways of religions down in Sunday school of what people believe in. They have all these different kinds of ways of salvations and works and everything that never lead to anything that they can be sure of. They're all waiting until they die and hope that they're going to get there. Hope that it's going to be good enough. Oh, Lordy mercy, this morning I serve a God that He can show you. He can let you know. You can feel it. You can understand it. And when you do, you'll know that's when that seed fell in the right spot. And you'll know that it produces fruit. Over in John's writing, I'll turn and I'll close. Over in the book of John, I believe it's in what I was thinking about was how that a good tree will bear good fruit. Every good tree will bear good fruit. Every one, every single solitary one of them will bear good fruit. The ones that haven't been saved by God's grace, they won't. I mean, there's a lot of cheap imitations out there too. There's a lot of cheap imitations out in this world, but they're not going to bear good fruit. There's not going to be the direction from the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that this church that we're at today is a Spirit-filled church. I believe God meets with us. I believe God resides in our services. I know He resides in me while I'm trying to stand, because I couldn't do a thing without Him if I didn't. The Lord meets with us. This is the Lord's church. I say that because if I couldn't feel Him here, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? If you couldn't feel the Lord, that's the first sign. That's the first problem. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what's in here. You got to know. What kind of ground is it? Is it prepared? Are you going to sow good fruit? Are you going to reap good fruit? And heaven be your home one of these days? Or is the fruit going to be all bad? And you'll follow with Satan and his angels. God bless you is my message. That's my thoughts today. Like I said, I've studied hard this week, but I hadn't got a straight... I studied so many things and never did get a straight direction this week. And I pray that the Lord take this that I've said this morning and just use it. I hope it'll be some help to somebody. Be a word or a thought on anyone's heart. Amen. Bless. Something on someone else's heart this morning. When the Lord shows you you're lost, that's the best time I know to seek Him. Appreciate this. Macedonian calls out back. Anything else this morning?
know, I know we hear that a lot in our churches about the pillars of our church. I think it's important that our young folks understand what that means. Now, what a pillar does is they hold up the church when the rest of us are not. And no matter what happens, they never let down the corner.
Amen.
They're always there holding it up.
Correct.
As the rest of us may come and go, we may get caught up in this world. Those pillars will remain holding up this church. And I thank them for that. Because at one time, I was one of those people that come and went. And they came back. And they were still here holding up this church. And it's a precious church. And I want each of you to know how much you mean to us.
Amen.
And we thank you for every little thing that you taught us along the way. It's just meant the world to me and my family. And I just want you each to know that we honor you today for what you mean to this church.
Yeah.
For what you mean to your Lord. And what you mean to us. And I just want to say on the behalf of all of us under 50, thank you for everything.
Amen. Amen. That's very well said. Very well said. Now, I agree wholeheartedly, you know. Had there not been somebody, you know, holding on to the truth, sticking with it through thick and thin, good and bad, holding on, these doors might not be open today, you know. Fortunately, we have some that are not today. But I'm thankful, just like Sister Cindy said. I thank you all for this day. And for anybody that's visiting with us today, we hope you'll stay with us. We have a lunch prepared for to honor the older people of this church, the pillars, the foundation of this church. And it's to honor them, and hope you'll stay and eat with us. I don't think they'll mind. I believe they'll share. Is there anything else on anyone's heart this morning? I would ask all that can and will this afternoon, we're going to Hartsville to the TV taping to make a tape for the old-fashioned gospel hour, and anyone that can and will, it's at 4 o'clock, and hope that you would go. Hope all them seats be filled up in there. Because it's representation of our church. It's the Lord's church. Don't get me wrong. It's the Lord's church. But it's a representation of Faith Missionary Baptist when we go up there. And so let's, if you can at all, please go and be with us. Anything else on anyone's heart before we dismiss? If not, I'll stand in. Once again, please stay and eat with us if you're visiting. Please feel welcome. Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us and say a blessing over the meal? Amen.